John chapter 7. We ended last time with chapter 6. And the theme of, what do you think is the theme of the book of Romans? And someone will ask you, what's the theme of the book of Romans? Huh? The theme of the book of Romans. If someone will ask you, what is the book of Romans all about? In one word, what is it? The righteousness of God. The free gift of righteousness. Which is a major teaching of the gospel. That's the theme of the book of Romans. And if you understand this as a Christian, you have confidence to go to God anytime. And the devil will lose the battle of it. Because what he gets us is, we don't have the confidence to come to God. Because we look at ourselves. And there's always something wrong with me. There's always something wrong with you. So if we're waiting for when nothing will be wrong with us, we'll never go there. If you agree, say amen. You'll never go there. And if you don't have confidence towards God, you won't have confidence to receive from Him. We won't have confidence to keep what He gives you. And we need to live successfully. We need everything from God. His power, His love, everything. All good things, all perfect gifts come from God. Now, if I'm afraid to go to God, if I don't have confidence to go, if I'm not sure He will answer my prayer, I'll be struggling a lot of times. So, this is very important that you understand this issue of the gift of what? Righteousness. So, Paul was saying that God will count you righteous if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That this is a major revelation that the prophets talked about. And the gospel is now revealing. And he was making very powerful propositions. We call it propositions. Very powerful teachings on this to convince us that this is really the way it should be. Because he said that the Gentiles who didn't have the law, they were not good. They were evil. You see, because by nature, man is what? Evil. So they couldn't help but disobey God by choice. They just chose to disobey God. And they began to live all manner of evil lives. And he said the Jews that received the law were not better than them. He said the name of God is being what? Blasphemed because of the Jews. So he came to chapter 3. He said, we now conclude that both Jews and Gentiles are what? Sinners. So nobody said except. He said, all have sinned. And now God is counting us righteous as a matter of gift because of His grace that we enjoy in Christ Jesus. And he was trying to make it clear to us that it is impossible for a man to produce righteousness, the standard of God, by his own flesh, by himself. That's not possible. And so in Romans 3:20, can we put it up, please? Romans 3, verse 20. For no person will be justified, therefore, by the deeds, you can put back the one you had before. Put back the one you had before, come back to this one. For no person will be justified or made what? Righteous, acquitted, and judged what? Acceptable in His sight. Whose sight? God's sight. By observing the works prescribed by the law. For the real function of the law is to make, okay, we can't wait. So give us the next, to make, and we're waiting forever for the next thing. Can we have the next translation? But now, let's have the next translation, verse 20. That's the King James that you put up before. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh. Does that include you and me? No flesh will be justified in His sight. For By the law is the knowledge of what? He said the law reveals the sin in us. It reveals how sinful we are by nature. So these are statements that are facts. These are truths. You don't need to, I mean, my life, your life will show you that we haven't performed 100%. We haven't performed 100%. The best of the day, I mean, when we think we are there, we are up there. We are really not up there. Because you can find a couple of things that I don't like that you did. Praise the Lord. So, it was through Jesus Christ that God gave us the gift of righteousness in 2 Corinthians 5:21. It said, for he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Why did he make him to be sin for us? That we might be made the righteousness of who? Of God in him. So that we can come to the standard that God accepts. So God made Jesus to be sin and now made us to be what? Righteous. Can we repeat that? God made Jesus to be what? Sin. And then made us to be what? Righteous. Can we repeat that again? God made Jesus to be what? Sin. And then made us to be what? Now make it personal now. Drive it home to yourself. Now let's go. God made Jesus to be what? Sin. So that I become what? Righteous. Can we say that again? God made Jesus to be sin. I will be made what? Righteous. So if I come to Christ, he takes my place and I do what? Take his place. And why should God do that? For God so loved the world. It's an act of love. You didn't pay for that. It's an act of love. But when we come to chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, you see where Paul is making a very powerful argument that God has the prerogative of mercy. So you can't say, why? Is Jesus the only way to God? Paul says he has the right to choose. If you can't say, why are you choosing? He said, because it's God. Praise the Lord. And the second thing that Paul was trying to let us do is that it's not only that we have been made righteous, but that the very thing that causes us to sin has been taken away. We must remember this. Must remember this. Because this is at the core of what Jesus said. Except a man is what? Born again, he shall not see the kingdom. Which means until that nature is taken away, you can't get into God's kingdom. Until that sinful nature is taken away. It's taken away. You won't see the kingdom. And so Paul was saying that it's not only that we've been made righteous as a matter of grace and mercy, but that God went further to take out the main issue, the real issue, the part that's not working well, which is our nature. So he gave us a new nature when we came to Christ. Romans 6:6. Knowing this. What do we know? Knowing this. Romans 6:6. Can we have Romans 6:6 up there? Romans 6:6. It's not roots. It's Romans. Romans 6:6. Knowing this. What do we know? Is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be what? Destroyed. That henceforth now, we should not what? Serve sin. That's how God dealt with sin. And Paul said, we know this. Now the question is, do you know this? Do you really believe? When you live your life, do you live your life on the premises of this knowledge that God took out of me the sin nature and gave me his nature, a righteous nature. Amen. But he said, you know, sometimes in spite of the fact that God took out our sinful nature and gave us the new nature, you know, it all now boils down to what you want to yield yourself to. people identify with their natural parents. So why do you have anger? I say, oh, my father had it. Have you had it before? Ah, some of you have said it before. And then you say, ah, this thing runs in our family. You see, that's what you believe. If, my brother, can you come? Can you come? If I'm, let's just say I'm his dad, and his dad, they say like father what? Like son. So he meets you and he say, hey, why do you behave this way? He say, oh, that's my dad. And the people who know me, we say, ah, he's just like what? His dad. That's what we believe. Can we do a change? Replacement. Now I'm going to do replacement therapy. And tell me what you are saying, what you should be saying about him. Now there's a replacement therapy. Right? I'm his dad, okay? And then God comes along and takes my place. Our father who does what? Yeah. So, what should I be saying about him? He's what? That's his dad. If I say, hey, why do you have this anger? He said, I'm just like my dad. What's wrong with that statement? Tell me something. Now, he shows anger all the time, right? And then you ask him, why do you think this is? Oh, boy, you don't know my father. I'm just a chief of what? Oh, blood, man. What is wrong with that statement? Let me hear. What is wrong with it? Okay, tell me what's wrong with it. He doesn't know who. And because he doesn't know this person, he derives his identity from where? And I want to ask you a question. How will he ever change? Is it not as a man thinks? As long as he derives his identity from me, he will always be what? Even though this God here has changed him and said to him, you are now my son, and I'm now your what? What happens if he wakes up and says, wait a minute? No, hold it. This is pastor. I said, but you have anger? No. I'm like my father. And they say, who is your father? Our father, which art? He said, really? God, your father? Sure. If he keeps saying that, at the point, he starts what? Believing it. What do you think happens to his character? Because he doesn't focus on him. His carnal mind. Right? Okay. Let's go into another scenario here. No, I'm not done. You should be glad we called you for God. You should be glad. How can you not be happy? You should throw a party after this. Order pizza for us. Say, they called me God. Can we call pizza? I like Papa John. So, praise the Lord. Let's create another scenario here. God is his father, right? And I want somebody from the youth. Come. Those of you, two of you come because you are talking. Where am I? Two of you come. So we are going to play the bad guy now. Because I want somebody to play the bad guy for us. God is his father, right? Okay. Now these are the bad guys who talk when the pastor is teaching. Now somebody is hiding behind them. They are here. Now listen. This is the world system. And in this system, they have their lifestyle. They have what they accept. And he comes and hangs out here all the time. I want to ask you, who will he look like? Huh? You see that because they are putting their hand on him. You get what I'm saying? Why is he going to look like them? Because evil communication, what? Yes. Now, this is the world system. Television. All the movies there. They're never going to tell you about him. They're going to tell you about what? This system. They glamorize shooting. poor. Right? They glamorize wickedness. They glamorize drunkenness. The tough guy. The master. You know what I mean? So they come out with black glasses, looking tough. And that's the picture that excites them here. They're all very excited. Because that's their system. Right? Pretty soon, he will be wearing that what? Glasses. But that doesn't mean that God didn't want sit. But he's hanging out here. Then, internet. He's watching all the wrong stuff on the internet when people are sleeping. Reading all the wrong books. And all his friends are the bad guys. They have no respect for God here. They have a different God. And it's not this one. There's a God that controls this one. And that God is the enemy of this one. And whilst he's hanging out with them, he thinks everything here is okay. You know why? I'll show you something. Does anybody have a quarter or something? A quarter. You see this thing? Is it big? No. You know, if you put it over this eye, I'm not going to see. So what am I going to see? If he's here, he takes this and puts over his eye. All he sees is this. He will come to church and dance because in this system they dance. But he doesn't know this reason. And because he doesn't know this reason, he has no plans of trusting. And when you are talking about him, he's sleeping. Know why he's sleeping? All his mind is clogged with this people. As soon as he leaves here, he joins them. He will sleep. He will go to watch American football that starts by 4. He will be there by 12. And he won't bother. But if you bring him here, you say this sermon is too long. But when he goes home, you put movies for him. He will watch movies for how long? 4 hours. And in those movies, they're teaching him witchcraft, all manner of stuff. And then he tells his children, it is okay, it's not. And they're teaching his children witchcraft. And he goes to buy all those things. He will never put for his children anything about him. Because he doesn't do it. Is anybody following me? Huh? So he sits down on his couch, watches television. They told me. Internet. Then phone, cell phone. It's on the phone, on the road. That doesn't mean that's not a new creature. It means he is hanging out. He begins, now let's change this crowd. These people are good guys now. So stop hiding behind anybody. You are not the good guys. And now let's say that he comes to church one day or he meets her and she says, hey, how are you? And they start talking. And then God begins to use her to talk to him. And say, this is the way my life is. This is my God. Wow. This thing works. So he starts going to the right, to this crowd that is the body of Christ. He starts hearing a different word. And they are talking to him about who? About him. The more he hears, nearer, my God, to thee. He's coming what? Nearer. Nearer and nearer. What draws him nearer is the information he's what? Getting. When you bring the one from the other world, he sees it that this is him. So no, in our family, we don't do stuff. He doesn't need the pastor to follow him around. All he has is the light. Praise the light. Praise the Lord. He doesn't need the pastor. He doesn't need laws. He doesn't need thou shalt not. He's driven from within by the knowledge what he has. And this information set him free from the other crowd. Cut him off. And this other crowd will start avoiding him. Because they will say, you look what? Different. You look, yeah. Because two cannot work together now. And on television, those things don't control him anymore. He has time to open his Bible and say that I'm ready. Communion with God. His crowd now, his fellowship is with the Holy Spirit. He values that time with God. You don't tell him you must read your Bible. He lives in it today because he has nothing else to do. When he reads it, he finds life, he finds wisdom, he finds answers to issues, and he runs to this world all the time. And Jesus said, you are clean because of the words I have what? Spoken. So his thinking begins to change. All those values here lose importance. His life begins to change. And he becomes the thing that they beat him all the time. Transformed into that, but the word is not here. If you get this, if you understand the shout hallelujah, okay, you can see. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, we all of us, with open what? Face, behold, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord at you. You behold the glory of the Lord. Why do you see the glory of the Lord? In the world, in the Bible, in the Bible, I changed into the same image from glory, what? Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You behold it. You study. And you see Jesus. You are not studying religious knowledge. You are studying to behold Christ. Brethren, it makes a whole lot of difference what you are seeking. Jesus said to the woman, I said, who do you seek? He said, I'm seeking Christ. He said, I'm here. If you are seeking him, he will say, I'm here. Yeah. So when you study, you want to behold him. You want to know Christ. You don't just want to read Bible. Because if you want to be changed, you have to do what? Behold him. You have to do what? So when you come here, we teach you about Christ non-stop. Because there's nothing else to behold. You say, well, they tell me something, go away, go learn something else. I won't bother you. But you turn after that thing. If you want to turn after him and look like him, the scripture says you do what? Behold him. And in another place, he says, looking unto. So we point you to Christ all the time, but we are not tired. Because that's the only place to look. There's no other place to look. Amen? So we come to chapter 7. So chapter 7 is not talking to non-Christians at all. Don't go there. It's not talking to non-Christians at all. There's nothing written in the Bible written to non-Christians. You gave me this one. If you don't take it, I'll use it. Go in, gone. No, the time to recover it is over. So now it goes to my pocket. So chapter 7, Don't get confused now. Because there's this argument. Is it talking about the Christian? Is it talking about what? Non-Christian? No. The Holy Spirit never wrote any letter to the non-Christian because he cannot understand him. The Bible says that the natural man does not what? Understand it. So how can the guy have God write to him? I mean, I love my children, I love my grandkids. The best I can write to my little girl is carry her. If I write her a letter now, she will rip it. So I'm not going to write it. You know, so God is not going to write to the world because they won't understand. He has only one message for the world. And it is called the what? The gospel. That's the power that saves somebody. So chapter 7, and then as people say, St. John was written to the world. It's not true. There is no scripture written to the world. It's written to the church. Can I hear amen? So this chapter 7 is talking about the Christian. The reality of our struggles with the flesh, which is real. And the flesh is very much alive until, church, listen now, until we receive the new body that Christ what? Promised us. Until then, we have to deal with this. And don't forget that the Bible says that the unbeliever is dead in sin and what? So he's insensitive. He's totally, everything written in chapter 7 cannot be him because he's totally, when you were not a Christian, tell me how many times you were bothered about living righteous. What didn't bother you? You hang out with what you have planned more. You did plan some more. Especially those who were dancing Panluga at the time. They danced some more. So the unbeliever is not the person that is being bothered about his inadequacies. No. No. It is the Christian who is being bothered about it. Who wants to live the way God wants him what? To live. The unbeliever doesn't bother about it. If somebody wrote this now, I say, when I was not a Christian, he said, I never even had guilt at all. So we committed sin, we didn't bother me. I said, yeah, that's what, because you are dead in sin. So, now, Ephesians 4:17 describes the person who doesn't have Christ. Ephesians 4:17. This is Ephesians 4:17. If we put it up, it will help us. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other what? Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding what? Darkened. Why? There's no light of the gospel there. Being alienated from what? Life of God through the ignorance that is what? In them. Because of the blindness of their heart, keep going. Who being past what? Feeling. It means they don't feel nothing. They are past feeling. They don't feel bad. They don't feel guilty. They don't feel evil. Nothing. They just keep doing what they. So they are not the ones that are waking up and saying, oh my God, why did I do this? So they are past feeling, having given themselves over unto all this uncleanness. So it's not talking about them. Now let's start from verse 1. Romans 7, verse 1. If you are ready, say amen. So let's go. Now, dear brothers and sisters, can we put it up so you can follow me as I read? Romans chapter 7 from verse 1. I think I'm reading New Living Translation. Put it up so we can go together. New Living Translation. Now, dear brothers and what? Sisters. You who are familiar with the law. Don't you know that the law applies only while a person is what? Living. Keep going. For example, when a woman marries, the law binds her to her husband as long as he is alive. But if he dies, the laws of marriage no longer. Every Christian should take note of this, as we live in a society that doesn't believe in this. We should take note of this. So while her husband is alive, she will be committing what? thought he should marry another. Now, I mean, his husband is alive, and she can't even go and marry another. How about when the husband is alive and she's living with him and is going to sleep with another? I mean, the husband is alive, he can't even marry somebody else. How can you now sitting, living under the same roof and sneaking up and sleeping with somebody? Let's go. You took it away. Are you a Gentile? But if her husband dies, she's free from that law and does not commit adultery when she remarries. Continue. So my dear brothers and what? Sisters, this is the point I'm making. You die to the power of the law when you die with who? Christ. And now you are united with the one who was raised from the dead. Because we are now united with him, as a result of this uniting with him, we can produce a harvest of good deeds for who? So the reason we produce, the reason we produce good works for God is not because of the law. We must understand this. He says the reason we produce a harvest of good deeds for God is because we are now joined to who? To Christ. God used Abraham to show us how to live a Christian life. When Abraham was past the time of having children, he brought forth children. What God is illustrating there is that you can't bring forth good fruit except to that man is as useless as Abraham in 100 years to produce anything. That's what God is illustrating through that Abraham son. And Jesus came and said, without me, you can what? Nothing. And Abraham and Sarah, 100 years. So there was nothing natural that could produce that baby. It has to be supernatural. And God is saying, the Christian life is also a supernatural what? Life is something produced by the power of my spirit. The same way Abraham was able to by the power of what? That's why we live by the promises. And he says the people who are children of God are not the natural children who came by the natural means. They are the ones who came by intervention and the power of the Holy Spirit. The same way. A Christian cannot produce good fruit except by the intervention and power of the Spirit of Christ. The same way. It's not because you have 10 commandments. No. Jesus said, without me, you can what? Do nothing. You can have all the commandments. If you don't have Christ, you still can do nothing. That's what Paul is saying. He said, hey, Christ has come. So there's this new means of producing good fruit. The law could not do that. And what the law did really was, the law said to me, thou shalt not lie. Right? Come on, church. He didn't stop there. He turned around and put a hook on my neck and says, the soul that sinneth shall what? That, so I'm telling you now, that shall not lie. If you dare lie, you are dying. So Paul said, we are bound. We are held. Let me show you. Must understand this. The law says, that shall not what? And he lied once. The law comes back up and says, yeah. The soul that sinned, Paul said, we were bound by with him. He held us because we are bossy. And nobody could deliver from his grip of judgment. That's why he said, we were delivered from the law. He had us what? Here. Because he said, hey, that's an old lie, but you've lied several times. So he came and said, okay, The same Lord that said, thou shalt not lie. The same Lord said, before thy sinner, and did not prescribe mercy. No mercy. Where did you read from mercy? No mercy. So he comes and says, yeah, you lie. I said, if you lie, you die. So I've come for judgment. Did you get what I'm saying? Thank you. So he says, when Christ came, brethren, when Christ came, one more time, just one more time. When Christ came, see what happened there. The Lord came and held us all here. When Christ came, he died and shed what? His blood. And his blood came and he cleaned him of that unrighteousness. And the law could no more hold him. So the Bible says we're delivered from the law. That all the ordinances written against us, all this list of sins we failed, the list of it, all of it, that when Christ died, he destroyed them with his blood. Come on, church. Am I talking to Christians? He destroyed all of it. The Bible says all the ordinances against us, he destroyed them by his blood. Why? He died for us. He said, okay, you want him dead, I'm here. So he died for us. And when he died for us, they realized he committed what? No sin. Somebody shout hallelujah. God set them up and gave him a righteous person to kill. So they were eager to kill him. And Jesus said to Judas, he said, what you do, do what? Quickly. God has said to the Lord, quickly, go ahead. So this is the time of the powers of darkness. So they were so excited. So they killed him. And God said, well, you know what? The soul that sinners shall what? So what did he do to die? And so he said, okay, you have to release this person for me so there will be justice. An eye for what? That's the Lord that saved us. An eye for an eye. So somebody shout hallelujah. Yeah, you killed an innocent soul. He did nothing. So an eye for what? So Jesus said, okay, if you believe in me, that this my death becomes yours. He bore our sins. He became our sins. He carried it. So now he was held. So that we can be what? And then when they got him to kill him, they said, we have some criminals here. We can release them for you. If you want. They say, no. This is the person that's what? Release the criminal for us. And that was God demonstrating the cross. That we were condemned. The law, what condemned us really? What was the law? It was here. And Jesus came. And they grabbed him. Put him on the cross. And killed him. And the justice of God is that an eye for an eye. And then he said, you killed him. He did nothing. And this woman told them, this man has done no wrong. He told them, I warn you now. You are killing an innocent man. He did nothing. He said, I'm telling you, my husband, don't. This man is totally innocent. And they grabbed him. And the Bible said, if they had known, they wouldn't have killed him. So the moment they killed him, they lost the battle. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Come on, I said, how many of you get what I'm saying here? You get what I'm saying here? He became sinful. So we become what? So Paul is saying that when Christ came, he delivered us from this law thing. And we're now married to Christ, joined to him. Because when we are under the law, we didn't have empowerment. No empowerment at all. The law said, don't do this, don't do this. But it didn't empower you. He told you what was wrong. The law is righteous. The law is holy because it came from God. But he didn't give anybody any ability not to do those things. Get my point? So when Christ came, he became the strength of our life. So we can now do what? All things. So now when Christ came, we became empowered. We became totally empowered. That what the Lord could not do now, in that this place was weak, now Christ did, empowering us. Empowering us. Empowering us. Empowering us. Somebody shout hallelujah. So he said, because we are not joined to him, he's not, we are not joined to him, the same spirit, life, his life is in us. He said, because of this, now, his strength is flowing here, his life is flowing here, so that this person can now produce fruit. He is the vine, you are just a branch, but he's supplying everything. Now you say, but, yeah, you need to realize that. You remember the picture, the world? You need to find out why you hang out. Because as long as you hang out here, all these things will be garbage. I'm telling you, you come to church, hear this, you see. It'll be garbage to you, you won't understand what. You'll be wondering whether this is clean. Because you haven't had the desire to know the truth. When you have the desire to know the truth, the Lord will begin to what? Open your eyes and show you the truth. And then the truth shall now say to you what? Are we on the same page? Huh? How many of us read our Bibles seeking to know Christ every day? Okay. Four times in. Let's take it down. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty stuff. How many of us really study? How many study? I say, I want to know Christ. Is it not, if you seek, you find? You can't find because you came to Bible study. You will only find because in your heart, you are what? You're seeking. Otherwise, you sit down there and say, what's he talking about? I'm talking the truth. The reason is this is Greek to you is that your heart has never sought him. And he said, I can't give you my treasure if it's not important. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Come on, I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Church, I said, praise the Lord. Come on, I said, praise the Lord. So, Romans chapter 7 from verse 1 to verse 4. So now, we are married to Christ. We are joined to him. So we have strength now. We have new life now. We are new creatures now. So we can now produce deeds for God. Verse 5 says, when you were controlled by our old nature, sinful desires were at work within us. And the law aroused those evil desires that produced a harvest of sinful deeds, resulting in death. Do you know, if you want to start human beings to commit sin, you give them laws. Let me give you an example. I don't know if you are past Garden State Parkway. Somebody told me that when the speed limit was, it was 45. They were also passing it. And then the government said, why are we wasting our time? Let's adjust this thing. Then they started increasing their speed again to 75 to 80. And you go to some roads in California or something that has no speed limit. People are not speeding. Because man by nature is rebellious. You know, there are some roads, I think in California, the speed somewhere doing 100 miles. Some don't have the speed limit at all. People are not speeding, they relax. Take their time because there's no law to break. The Bible says the law arouses sin. If you go to any church that is ruled by laws, you see people in force. Because the Holy Spirit knows what he's talking about. If you come tomorrow, if you come here tomorrow, and we put a sign there, don't enter. Do you know, during the service, half of you will be what? Looking at there. And then while the sermon is going on, you are wondering, what in the world is this? And then immediately after service, you want to pass by it. You don't have any business that you want to pass. And you go away. And immediately you go away, the next thing you go to say, do you know why they say we shouldn't? It will attract them. The Bible said the law arouses sin. Because man is like giving a bone to a dog. Because the natural part of man is sin. So the moment he sees sin to commit, he rushes there. Do you know that when people go to prison, they come out hardened? Because they give them all manner of restrictions, and the thing makes them angry. They come out really, really angry. It's like, how can you treat me like this? You take away my dignity. They say, take away my dignity. They say, we're trying to help you. They say, no, you're not helping me. And then when they come out, they are very, very angry. This is why Paul says, we're delivered from the law and brought under grace. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. When we were growing up, we were kids, we had a lot of laws around the house. Unless you didn't grow up at my time, you were not supposed to talk with your father. You don't come where your father is sitting. They call their mom and say, come and take this bad boy out. There are a lot of laws. Then we devise our means of breaking them. And daddy and mommy have no idea what we are doing. When they call you, come and stand. Good morning, ma. Good morning, sir. They don't know you have done a lot of stuff. Praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. So, verse 5 says, when we are controlled by our old nature, sinful desires were at work within us. And the law aroused these sinful desires that produced a harvest of what? Sinful desires resulting in death. Then the next verse, but now we have been released from the law, for we died to it and are no longer captive to its power. Now we can serve God not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the Spirit, by the power of the Spirit, living because of love. We love God. Just because you love God, you want to do the things that pleases God, not under duress, not by force. That's why the Bible says, even in giving, you can't give by force. No. He says you give as you have purposed your heart. It's an act of love. So Paul said, the way I live is that the love of God constrains me. So if I'm not doing something, because I realize that God doesn't like that, and I love God. See, if you love somebody, oh boy, you do anything for it. Is that true of us? Huh? Many of you are pretending now. If you love somebody, you do anything for the person. Is that true? Huh? Absolutely true. And you do it willingly, you won't even feel a pain. It's not even a man, you want to do more. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. You want to do more. And then you do this, and if they like it, you. But if you don't like them, and they say, can I have water? Say, my friend, am I the only one here to give water? Don't put on. In fact, I'm allergic to water. You know the reason? It's no love. The reason, the only motive God wants for us to do anything for Him is because we love. And that's the only noble motive to do anything. If people force you to do things, you are not the one doing it. Your mind, your heart is not in it. And you won't enjoy doing it. And you will do it, but you are not really doing it. So God can't predict it. What you do with all your heart is what you have made up your mind that this is what? To you. Why? Because you love God. Jesus said, if you love me, then you will do what I say. See the difference between the law and love? Come on, church. If you understand me, say amen. All right. Now, the next, do I have time? Did you get anything up to here? Now let's read verse 7. From verse 7. Well then, am I suggesting that the law of God is sinful? Of course not. In fact, it was the law that showed me my sin. I would never have known that coveting is wrong. If the Lord had not said so, you must not covet. Verse 8. But sin now used this command to arouse all kinds of covetous desires within me. If there were no law, sin would not have that power. Remember 1 Corinthians 15:56 says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. The strength of sin, what? Is the law. At one time, I lived, I really want to talk about it. Verse 9, because a lot of Christians have issues with this verse 9. At one time, I lived without understanding the law. But when I learned the command not to covet, for instance, the power of sin came to life, and I... Did you read that? Can we read that? Can we go back and read that? At one time, I lived without understanding. But when I learned the command, you see, it's telling you what the Lord can do to me. When I learned the command not to covet, for instance, the power of sin did what? Came alive. What happened? And I did. Who can tell me what he's talking about? What's he talking about? He said, but no, let's go back. Let's go back now. At one time, I lived without understanding what. When was that? Huh? He grew up a Pharisee, familiar with the law. So it's not what he's talking about. He said, concerning Pharisee, perfect. The law was my stuff. Let me tell you, that's what he's talking about. You see, when you are exiled, you have no law, no commandment, no guilt. Praise the Lord. That means I said, praise the Lord. Children have what? That's why they don't hide when they do stuff. Because there's no guilt. A child will come, take your salad, throw it on the floor. You did it. And then, whether you are there or not, he's not hiding it because he doesn't know that it's wrong. So he has no law. He doesn't know any law. A child doesn't know any law at all. That's why my granddaughter will come, service or not, they're running to grandpa. You know, whether you're singing, praying, doesn't know, it's just right. All he wants to come to the grandpa. Grandpa, you show me her shoe. Show me her dress. And I'm supposed to be praying. Part of this, I say, oh, this is beautiful. He showed me this. Oh, beautiful. He showed me how I'm supposed to be praying. See, he doesn't know any law. No law. And because of that, no guilt. No guilt. No child will say, hey, see what I did. Oh, God, why did I do? Doesn't know any law. But now he grows up. Listen to this. There comes the point where he realizes, oh, I shouldn't do this. The moment he realizes that, begins to do this, then secretly. Before, we'll do anything before that, because crawling along, if you see hot water, it doesn't know whether it's hot or cold. And when everybody's running and taking this out of their way, but he grows up now. Begins to understand there are regulations, there are guidance. There are certain things that should not be done. Paul said, when I knew that, the natural thing should be attacked. I began to behave like the sinful man that I am, not like attacked. And then those are really when children become mischievous. Am I right? Ah, seriously. And then they begin to hide this from mom. I remember one time, if you tell this story, it's between two of us. I remember one time I took my mom's pension because I wanted to eat mama. The poor woman didn't notice it, that I stole her one. Which was a lot of money then. Because this thing was penny. So the one shilling was 12. I stole it that time. You can tell her now. Before, you know, and because I have become aware, nobody told me that I knew I should take it. So I took it. Why? I'm tired. Now I'm acting like a natural human being. The fallen nature has come. Guilt. Sure. Praise the Lord. And I started to devise means to manipulate my mom. If I wanted something, I know she was out. Pretend that I'm sick. If I wanted to eat rice, I would pretend that I was sick. And my mother would come in and say, "Hanna, you're not going to school this morning." And she'll cover me up. I said, "Hey, my son, you can't get quinine and rum." He said, "What will you eat?" I said, Rice. All I wanted to do was eat rice. But I know she won't give it to me. So I will. And some days, they want to go to school. If my children. Where in the world did I see this? Is anyone to go to school? She'll cover me up. Hey, she's concerned. She wants me to be well. So school is out of the question. And then she'll give me quinine, very bitter. I'll close my eyes and swallow it. And after that, I eat my rice. And then I will sweat under the heat of the blanket. Say, "You're better now." I say, "I'm good." See what Paul is saying? He said, when at a point in my life, I didn't know anything. So I didn't know what was right or wrong. He said, but when I realized things that were wrong, he said, I began to behave like the natural man separated from I died. Behave, that natural thing, natural instinct to be disobedient, killed him. Consequence of the natural fall of man from Adam. Praise the Lord. Are you following me? So, just, you know, they to see a little bit. When they come out, "So I'll marry you." He say, "You come to you." Because he doesn't know what marriage is. So your husband, he said, "Will you follow me?" "Okay, well, I beg you, come out, he will follow you." The mother will say, "My friend, come back." When she comes to that age of realization, you say, "I'm your husband," she will run. Because she's beginning to be aware you are a man. And your husband, you're wrong. But before she won't, because she had no knowledge of it. "I'm going home. My wife, let's go and follow you." Small thing with small legs, follow you, married. Praise the Lord. Where did we stop? Okay, I think we'll stop here. So that we'll continue next time, talk about the struggles that we have with sin, which is real, and then talk about how Paul discovered the answer, which is Christ. All this is leading us to Christ, the answer. And how in chapter 8 said what the Lord could not do, God by sending his son. I will lead us to our mind, how to live this spiritual life, and everything. I don't know if you got anything. Praise the Lord.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.